alone onto the desert, towards the river that now lay low in the winter drought, with ice among the reeds. A memory had come to her that once, in the autumn, she had gone very far in the labyrinth, past the Six Cross, and all along one long, curving corridor, she had heard behind the stones the sound of running water. Might not a man athirst, if he came that way, stay there? There were spy holes even out here. She had to search for them, but Thar had shown her each one last year, and she re-found them without much trouble. Her recall of place and shape was like that of a blind person. She seemed to feel her way to each hidden spot, rather than to look for it. At the second, the farthest of all from the tombs, when she pulled up her hood to cut out light, and put her eye to the hole cut in the flat pan of rock, she saw below her the dim glimmer of the wizardly light. He was there, half out of sight. The spy hole looked down at the very end of the blind alley. She could see only his back and bent neck and right arm. He sat near the corner of the walls and was picking at the stones with his knife, a short dagger of steel with a jeweled grip. The blade of it was broken short. The broken point lay directly under the spy hole. He had snapped it, trying to pry apart the stones, to get at the water he could hear running, clear and murmurous in that dead stillness under earth, on the other side of the impenetrable wall. His movements were listless. He was very different, after these 3 nights and days, from the figure that had stood lithe and calm before the iron door and laughed at his own defeat. He was still obstinate, but the power was gone out of him. He had no spell to stir those stones aside, but must use his useless knife. Even his sorcerer's light was wan and dim. As Arha watched, the light flickered. The man's head jerked, and he dropped the dagger. Then doggedly he picked it up and tried to force the broken blade between the stones. Lying among ice-bound reeds on the riverbank, unconscious of where she was or what she was doing, Arha put her mouth to the cold mouth of rock and cupped her hands around to hold the sound in. "Wizard," she said, and her voice slipping down the stone throat whispered coldly in the tunnel underground. The man started and scrambled to his feet, so going out of the circle of her vision when she looked for him. She put her mouth to the spy hole again and said, "Go back along the river wall to the second turn. The first, turn right, miss one, then right again. At the 6 ways, right again. Then left and right and left and right. Stay there in the painted room." As she moved to look again, she must have let a shaft of daylight shoot through the spy hole into the tunnel for a moment, for when she looked, he was back in the circle of her vision, and staring upwards at the opening, his face, which she now saw to be scarred in some way, was strained and eager. The lips were parched and black, the eyes bright. He raised his staff, bringing the light closer and closer to her eyes. Frightened, she drew back, stopped the spy hole with its rock lid and litter of covering stones, rose, and went back swiftly to the place. She found her hands were shaky, and sometimes a giddiness swept over her as she walked. She did not know what to do. If he followed the directions she had given him, he would come back in the direction of the iron door, to the room of pictures. There was nothing there, no reason for him to go there. There was a spy hole in the ceiling of the painted room, a good one, in the treasury of the twin god's temple. Perhaps that was why she had thought of it. She did not know. Why had she spoken to him? She could let a little water for him down one of the spy holes and then call him to that place. That would keep him alive longer. As long as she pleased, indeed. If she put down water and a little food now and then, He would go on and on, days, months, wandering in the labyrinth. And she could watch him through the spy holes and tell him where water was to be found, and sometimes tell him falsely so he would go in vain, but he would always have to go. That would teach him to mock the nameless ones, to swagger his foolish manhood in the burial places of the immortal dead. But so long as he was there, she would never be able to enter the labyrinth herself. "Why not?" she asked herself, and replied, "Well, because he might escape by the iron door, which I must leave open behind me." But he could escape no farther than the under tomb. The truth was that she was afraid to face him. She was afraid of his power, the arts he had used to enter the under tomb, the sorcery that kept that light burning. And yet, was that so much to be feared? The powers that ruled in the dark places were on her side, not his. Plainly, he could not do much there in the realm of the nameless ones. He had not opened the iron door. He had not summoned magic food, nor brought water through the wall, nor conjured up some demon monster to break down the walls, all of which she had feared he might be able to do. He had not even found his way in 3 days wandering to the door of the great treasury, which surely he had sought. Arha herself had never yet pursued Thar's directions to that room, putting off and putting off the journey out of a certain awe, a reluctance, a sense that the time had not yet come. Now, she thought, why should he not go that journey for her? He could look all he liked at the treasures of the tombs. Much good they would do him. She could jeer at him and tell him to eat the gold and drink the diamonds. With the nervous, feverish hastiness that had possessed her all these 3 days, she ran to the Twin God's temple, unlocked its little vaulted treasury, and uncovered the well-hidden spy hole in the floor. The painted room was below, but pitch dark. The way the man must follow in the maze was much more roundabout, miles longer perhaps. She had forgotten that. And no doubt he was weakened and not going fast. Perhaps he would forget her directions and take the wrong turning. Few people could remember directions from one hearing of them, as she could. Perhaps he did not even understand the tongue she spoke.